has it not been just so nice, this lovely weather that we've been having? I know it's like so twee to talk about the weather, such a British thing, but I don't care. It's worth focusing on, it's worth celebrating. And you know, today it's a little cloudy out there, but it's been so nice to have the sun in our country, which is so often without the sun, it would seem. It feels that way, at least. Of course, it's not true, but just so lovely. Last week, I was speaking about the way that laughter, one of the things I was saying was how laughter can change us. Well, that's true with the sun as well. The sun can change us. Something to do, I gather, with vitamins. I don't know much about vitamins. I thought they were just some pills that you were supposed to take. It turns out they're actually in food and stuff like that. And you can get them, you can get, sorry doctor, you can get vitamins from like being outside and stuff like that as well. Isn't that amazing? I didn't know that, I'm just joking. But what a world we live in where your body is changed just by the sun shining on you. And if you've had a chance to have a moment and just rest with the warmth of the sun on your face, with a lovely, in Scotland, a lovely little breeze to keep you cool and to blow the bees away, then you know how nice that is. It's just beautiful. And these can genuinely be profound moments where if you have a moment and you can take just some time just to sit quietly with the sun on your face, there is a sense that chaos can wash away for a moment, and frenzy can fade away, and worry can pass away. And there is a moment that you can find where you can just exist in a place of stillness and peace. And there is something that speaks to us quite deeply in those moments. It reminds us, I think, when that feels good to us, it reminds us that the chaos and upset of this world is not how things should be. It's not how things were designed to be. It's not how this world was intended to be. It reminds us that there is actually something wrong in the world, and we know that because something feels very right about moments of calm and stillness and basking in the warmth of the sun. Now, that is just pointing us to something, I think. One of the ways we catch a glimpse of the simple peace that we know we're made for is when we feel the sun on our face. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays for the church in Ephesus to know a much more profound, deeper, truer shining of light that would help us, I think, here this morning, today, to rest in what is true reality. He prays in Ephesians 1, in verse 18 of Ephesians 1, the NLT puts it like this. I like this translation. Paul prays for the Ephesians, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. Now, when Paul was speaking to the Ephesians about hearts, the readers of this letter would have known that he meant much more than just a blood-pumping organ inside each and every human being. But this concept of heart was understood as referring to the whole person, soul, emotions, physical being, thoughts. The literal expression is not just about the heart, but it's about, if you've got the ESV, his prayer is that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. The eyes of your heart, knowing this fullest, deepest sense of true understanding. Paul is praying for that true knowledge of life and faith and purpose and what life is truly all about. He's praying that sense of the fullness of life would be enlightened, would be flooded with light. Paul is praying that the Ephesian church would be helped to understand true reality, to see things as they really are, to flood their hearts, their lives with light. Now there's a prayer that we need this morning, right? There's a prayer that our world needs. You know, we are in another moment, aren't we, where our news is just dominated in the last few days with anger and protests about Donald Trump coming, or about the anger about the anger, and there's this cycle, and I don't know about you, but if you turn on the news, you're going to feel opinions rising up in you, either agreeing with what you see before you or frustrated at what you see before you. That is what is going on just now. But even if you zoom in away from just the chaos of the UK or indeed the world, and you just think of what is going on in your own life or the lives of those in our church family, and the sense of difficulty that there is, the sense of struggle, the many questions that rise up. There are so many profoundly challenging issues in our world, a macro level, and in our hearts, maybe even right now where we are sitting as we think about what's going on in our world. And Paul prays for the Ephesians, a prayer that we all need to hear and to pray, that our hearts would be flooded with light, to truly understand God's light that illumines and brings clarity where otherwise there's struggle and chaos and things are murky at best, if not far worse than that. Now, this prayer that Paul's praying for, this light is flowing from somewhere and it's flowing to somewhere. So let's read from verse 15. For this reason, that is, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. That's one thing to say, is that this letter is written to people who have put their faith in Jesus. If you know that's not you yet, then today's your day where you can make a decision and put your faith in this Jesus that we've been reflecting on, God with us, the Son of God, the Lion, the victorious Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb who has been slain, the sacrifice that bears the punishment that we deserve. So I just would implore you, if you have yet to surrender your life to Jesus, do that today, because this letter is written to people who have faith in the Lord Jesus, and who the outworking of that is love towards our brothers and sisters, which again, you just sense among us here today, I think, right? So because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God... Here's Paul's prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul is praying that they would know, well, here's the debate, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hands up if your Bible translation or your app that you have before you says a spirit. Anyone got that? I've got that in mind. Just a few of us. Hands up if it says, we'd give you the capital S spirit. Yeah, good. Well done. Because the ESV originally, you know, translated this poorly. All the commentators agree. Paul is speaking not just about a spirit, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. And they have updated it, but I've not got the updated version just yet. Paul is praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul is praying not just for a certain atmosphere to come, not just for a vague spirituality, but he's praying for help from God, that the Holy Spirit would flood their lives with light. You see, this is a supernatural thing that we're praying for. This is not just for a certain spiritual demeanor in us, but this is acknowledging that our world needs a miracle. We need help from outside of ourselves. We need God to come to us and to help us in these times of peril. Again, no matter however wide you zoom out, no matter what your political hopes and dreams are for this world in which we live, or however closely you zoom in, whatever you're dealing with in your own heart or family, don't we just know deep down we don't have the resources in and of ourselves to make things right? We don't even have the resources to get through this week well with perfect peace and perfect hope. You know, let alone hoping that somehow this world will move towards a place of utopia apart from God. We know we can't do it in and of ourselves. We need the Spirit, God Himself, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to bring true wisdom, to bring true understanding. We need Him to flood our lives with light so we can see things correctly. Because this light flows from somewhere, and then this light helps us see things correctly. This light shows what is true. So let's keep reading. Pray for this, the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, our hearts flooded with light. Why? That you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ. And on Paul goes. It's hard to know where to stop. This is one of Paul's really long sentences where he doesn't, you know. So just between me and you, I got down from my pastoral prayer earlier, and Jacob whispers to me, "Your prayers are really long." He's right. I remember thinking that about my dad's prayers. But I've got a verse, I've got a passage for it, because Paul's prayers are really long in the Bible. And Paul, I remember as well when I was growing up, do you ever remember this when you were sitting in church, you're going, "Wait, I thought that guy was praying, but now it feels like he's teaching. He's trying to teach me something in this prayer. This is a sermon now." Well, Paul does that all the time. He's praying, and before you know it, Paul morphs here in the end of chapter 1 to worship and to this amazing teaching about the nature of Jesus' power. That it's the same power that raised Him from the dead and seated Him in the heavenly places. And Paul just goes on. It's just wonderful. But we're just going to stop. I just want to just mention again, I'm not going to go into any detail. We're trying to keep these services short. I'm just going to mention the glory of what is seen and can be known by a miracle of the Holy Spirit as God's light shines. It's just these three wonderful things. There is hope to which we are called, the middle of verse 18. There's hope for us today. Secondly, there are incredible riches of the inheritance that God has in store for His children, a wonderful inheritance. It might not feel like that for you just now. You might feel poor, however you frame that. It might be physically, it might be emotionally, spiritually bereft, struggling, lacking. But that's not true reality. The Spirit of God shines and floods our hearts with light, and we see the we see the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And then finally, we see this amazing power that we have from God, the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe. And again, you know, it's hard for us sometimes to feel the reality of that, but Paul has this wonderful knack in Ephesians of presenting us as being, you know, for example, chapter 1, verse 3, isn't it? Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That is who you are, child of God. That is who you are. You are blessed, and you share in this immeasurable power of God towards us who believe. And our journey of faith is to simply day by day say, "God, just give me my daily bread. Of all that you have for me, give me my daily bread. Give me your mercies, which are new every morning," as our brother prayed for us just some moments ago. Paul is praying that the Ephesians will know true reality. A miracle of God given through the Spirit of God, that our eyes, that our lives, sorry, would be flooded with light, that we would know hope, the inheritance that He has for us, the power that can be ours. Maybe it's even just power just to get through the rest of this day or this week. But I just want to encourage us, we're praying the Bible's prayers. Pray this for yourself. Pray as you wake up. Pray this afternoon. Next time you feel the sun on your face. pray that your heart will be flooded with light, that you will see things as they truly are, the hope which is yours, the inheritance which is yours, the power which is yours. Pray for yourself and pray for your brothers and sisters. You see the way Paul writes, isn't it incredible? He says there in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you. What does that mean? I mean, he's writing the Bible as he's saying that, but there is a sense in which Paul is always praying for his brothers and sisters. So can we pray for a posture to rise among us collectively, that as we go through our daily lives and the many pressures that come our way, that we would have this heart of prayer, that we would pray for the lives of our brothers and sisters to be flooded with light by the Spirit of God, that we would see things as they truly are. Not chaos, not destruction, not devastation, not peril, but perfect hope, a wonderful inheritance, and the power of God even. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we have even experienced that wonderful power from you here among us today. For example, as we hear our brother Bill Ray testify to your wonderful goodness that has kept him day by day over 94 years. Father, thank you for your power which is at work among us in this church. Lord, many of us could testify to the ways in which we would not have got through the various trials and tribulations we've faced apart from the supernatural power and help from God on high. So I just pray for that power to rise among us. I pray, Lord God, that you would flood our lives with light, that we would see things as they truly are. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you for the incredible glory of the inheritance that is ours. That you do not leave us to ourselves, but you are taking us home to be with you, and we can trust you. And Lord, for now and for this day and for this week, grant us your power, I pray. Flood our lives with your light, we pray. Help us see things as they truly are. Deepen our faith, deepen our hope. In Jesus' name.